You need to be licking it. Lick that butt.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true. Listening to a podcast today, a podcast about the ancient Mongols, specifically the tribal peoples of the steppes of what is now modern day Mongolia, and they were talking about how the people were one with their animals. And what I mean by that is they had a special relationship with their animals, specifically horses. Yeah, that cadence right there is Dan Carlin. I hope Paul Wohlstorff recognizes it.
I had a feeling you were going somewhere with that.
No, it's funny because, as everyone knows, I've been listening to these. I've been listening to Dan Carlin now for nigh on year and a half, I guess, 18 months, give or take. It's either been 18 months, a dozen and a half months, or a year and a half. I'm not sure which.
One of those.
Anyway.
One of those, yeah.
So one of the things he does is something called Hardcore History, and he's done a number of series. Sometimes it's one episode and he'll do like an hour and a half on a specific topic. Other times he'll do 3, 4, 5 different episodes totaling like 14 hours on a specific topic. So we've talked about it on the show. It's how I've learned about Republican Rome. It's how I've learned about World War I. It's how I learned about the Ostfront, the Eastern Front of the, you know, Colonel Klink used to talk about sending people to the Eastern Front, right? You did not. If you were German, you did not want to go to the Eastern Front.
Nope.
And, you know, I got to the point where I'd listened to, like, a ton of them. I listened to all the free ones, for sure. And now I'm on Facebook groups specifically for fans of Dan Carlin and his podcasts. You know, remind me to tell you later about the other Carlin, George, because I let my daughters watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which has George Carlin in
yes.
it. Back to the topic at hand. So he's doing, and there actually I'll tie it in later, and we'll call it a callback. So after having listened to all that, I find myself, you know, like after reading a good book or a series of good books, you go, man, I wish there was more. Well, there is more. You have to pay for it. But I figured out by the time you pay for one of these long series, it's only like $10.
Right.
And it's like 14 hours of podcast. The average audiobook is about 8 hours. And costs about $24.
Yes.
So, well worth it. So, the one that I just bought and started listening to today is called Wrath of the Khans. And it's about the rise of, he pronounces it Genghis Khan. I don't know if that's correct. I've always heard it Genghis Khan. But, regardless, it's about these... You know, it's one of those, always heard about Genghis Khan. He's in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They meet him. I know vaguely that he's Mongolian and that he was good at fighting war. That's all I knew.
Khan! Khan!
You know what else I knew? Only because I saw it somewhere. on like Wikipedia or something, I knew that a large portion of the Asian population is directly descended from Genghis Khan. It's like 1 in 500 Asians. And I mean directly, father to father to father, not like my uncles, cousins, moms, you know, whatever. It's something like 15 million people are directly descended from Genghis Khan. The man could not keep it in his pants. And he had no fertility problems whatsoever. I mean,
he's like,
think about
it. He was like the Wilt Chamberlain of his day.
That's right. Good thing AIDS wasn't around back then. History might be quite different. The thing that struck me, though, is, and what I didn't realize, was Dan Carlin makes a point about talking about why their armies were so effective. Well, for one thing, great leadership.
Yeah.
But great leadership with an awesome, unfair advantage in your military is, you know, that's people that make history, right?
Yeah.
And so he described these armies, like in those days, it was like 1200 AD, whatever, you know, King Arthur's running around England or something. Probably this is past King Arthur's day, but anyway, you know, England's still in it's like Monty Python in Europe, right? Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. And those armies had cavalry, like mounted soldiers, but it was just like one element of their, like all the way up through Napoleon's time, like it just in, you know, American Civil War, like cavalry was just one element of your army. The Mongolians under Genghis Khan, their entire army was cavalry.
Yep.
So if they bring 60,000 soldiers to the field, they're bringing 60,000 mounted soldiers. And each one had multiple horses.
That is a lot of horse shit.
Like 3, 4, 5 horses, right? And the skill that these guys had at riding these horses.
Yeah.
They were first put on a horse at like younger than 3 years old. And that horse was, it's, you know, you might think you love your cat or your dog, and you might think you have a special bond. And like the dog, I can tell when the dog's sad. The dog can tell when I'm sad. I mean, you start getting to know these horses at that young of an age.
Yeah.
You're getting good at that horse. And like jumping up and down. Like if you think about like acrobat riders, like acrobat, you know, like trick riders.
Yeah.
Right? Standing up on the horse and spinning around on the horse. Lone Ranger whistling and Silver comes over, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now imagine 60,000 of them.
I know. It's with crazy.
Giant bows and arrows that they could fire like 15 arrows in a minute. And each one of them carries like 150 arrows. So each of these 60,000 dudes can fire 150 arrows in 10 minutes. And there's 60,000 of them. And they can ride these horses like nobody's business. No wonder Genghis Khan conquered, like, back then, like, more, and still, more territory than any conqueror ever. And it all comes back to their relationship with their animals.
Yeah.
So that just struck me as, and thinking about, like, my oldest loves horses. I think about her relationship with the horses that she loves.
Yeah.
And she does have this bond, but it's not even close to what we're talking about here. And these guys had to be, like, they had to be connected to these animals, but still willing. And this is something they actually did. They would slice their throat and hold a cup under it. You know, like in Red Dawn.
Yeah.
The first one. Not the second one, because the second one pussed out. The first one cut that deer's throat and drank some of the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Only it was a live horse, and they would like bandage the cut so the horse would live. But the guy, that was a way to get nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
They would milk their horses and drink the milk from the horses.
It was difficult for the male horses.
I milked your horse. I ain't got no... I milked your mare. I ain't got no mare. Got a... What do they call male horses? What's a male horse? It's not a gelding. Stallion? No, that's not right, is it? Stud?
Maybe a stud or a stallion.
I wonder what Genghis Khan's horse's name was. Probably Pootie.
That's
Tim.
Right.
Hey, Pootie. Yeah.
If it wasn't, it is now.
Oh, we have a new character. Hello? Yeah. This is Genghis Khan's horse. Sada Tang. This is Genghis Khan's horse. My name, Pootie Tang. Pootie Tang, Pootie Tang.
Pootie don't need no saddle.
Oh, that's too funny. But yeah, so you know, and speaking of giving names to people's animals, oh, first the tie-in. So now that I'm learning all this shit about Genghis Khan,
mm-hmm.
that the so Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which I let my kids watch,
mm-hmm.
has, you know, they go back and they bring all these, for those of you that don't know, they bring back all these historical figures.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln, Socrates, you know, yeah. Napoleon, Joan of Arc. Genghis Khan is one of the people they bring back. And the thing, what struck me as funny is if you know what Genghis Khan did, right? He killed, not personally, but as a result, direct result of his orders, something on the order of 20 to 50 million people died. Horrible death.
Hard to believe there were that many people in the world back and, then, honestly.
I know, right? And so, well, it was China.
Oh, that's true.
A lot of it. So, something, I don't know, must be something in the water over there. I'm not racist, but those Chinese really know how to have a lot of kids. They're like Catholics. So they bring Genghis Khan back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's portrayed as just this great warrior. And like Bill and Ted are like, and he totally ravaged China. Dude. Like, how does that make you feel if you're China? I mean, you know, yeah. How come you in Hollywood, you don't like, you bring back like, the Khmer Rouge guy, what's his name, Pol Pot. You're like, and we brought back Pol Pot to tell you what he thinks about San Dimas. Excellent. He totally ravaged Cambodia, dude. Killed like 20 million people in the killing fields. It was most heinous. And he like steps aside, and Abraham Lincoln comes up. Everybody cheers. They get the girl. Everything's cool.
Whoa.
I explained to my daughters that Keanu Reeves, I was like, and he went on to be a pretty successful actor playing that same character in dozens of movies.
Everything he's done since then.
Whoa.
That was before we realized that, before Hollywood realized that China was a major market for movies. So
it's before China was a major market for movies.
Yes. Yeah, that too.
Oh. It'd be like now if you're like, oh, don't offend Haiti, you know? why not? Do they even have a movie theater in Haiti? Like back then, it's like China was like, that's the place that we thought our moms needed to send all of our food because there
that's
were starving
right.
people
that's
there.
That's true.
In China. Now China is like, Chinese people are telling their kids, you know, there are starving kids in the United States. You should eat your rice.
I bet they do.
Or whatever.
I bet
they
do. And that little Chinese boy we'll say, you know, we'll send it to them, you know.
Yeah. You know, there are starving racist people in the United States. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Because nobody ever thinks that Genghis Khan is a mass murdering, genocidal maniac. I think because it's been too long, you know? Tragedy plus time equals comedy.
you beat me to it.
But it did get me thinking about our bonds with our animals.
Yeah.
You know, and we just got our oldest a hamster recently.
I saw, what's his name?
Peach. It's a girl.
Peach, that's
her
right.
name is Peach.
Her name is Peach.
She's freaking adorable. And I noticed one of the things that makes her so adorable, her eyes are totally black. Like completely black. No, there's no whites of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just these dark orbs. And she looks at you and she's got that mouth, that little upside down V with the line coming out of it mouth that cute little animals have with those eyes. Yeah. And she's up, you know, on her hind legs with her arms in that cute little way that they hold their arms. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. this rat is freaking adorable.
Yeah.
Do you think they're more related to rats or mice?
If it had a long tail, it'd be a different story.
It'd be snake food. And then, of course, we also have two dogs, and all the animals have their own voice. Basil's from the streets, of course. Darn right, I'm from the streets. I was tough. My name was Tank. They called me Tank when I was on the streets. My friend's name was Butch. Hut. Poppy has two voices. Poppy's a girl. And Poppy's one voice is, I'm Poppy, and I haven't had my coffee yet, so I'm not quite awake. And then once she's had her coffee, she's like, oh, come, Poppy. I'm doing okay. Basil's been snapping at my face. That's right, I'm snapping at your face because you're sniffing my butt. You need to be licking it. Lick that butt. And Basil's like 1/12 the size of Poppy. So it's weird.
You realize that the show is going to open with, lick my butt. You need to be licking it. Lick my butt.
Yeah. Stop sniffing and start licking. I have a delicious butt. It's weird how much it can tear you up when something happens to these things.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my son couldn't handle it when our dog died because he caught his dad being all emotional and, you know, he couldn't. He was just like, because dad's not emotional like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it really messes with you. It's funny you were talking about, you know, licking my butt. Because, well, not my butt personally, but the other day my oldest was holding our cat and she's talking to her, the cat, and she's like, and your breath stinks. And I just, in the cat's voice, I'm like, it should stink. I was just licking my butt. Because our cat, for some reason, has this like weird, like quasi evil Russian voice, even though she's a Siamese cat. She's kind of like,
yes, I am. We speak Russian.
That's right. I scratch you. I love you by scratching you. This is my love. Because she's just so mean.
In Russia, I mean, in Siam, we get one butt per day. And that's for everybody. Everyone gets one butthole in their soup. If you get butthole in your bowl of soup, you're lucky for that day. Is Siam in Vietnam the same place? Siam is Thailand. I should ask my sister-in-law. My brother-in-law's wife is Thai, and I could ask her. Do you think she would be offended if I said, do you call twins in your country? Do you call them Siamese twins, even if they're not conjoined?
Well, you did have that moment when you posted the picture of Constance with Iris, our cat, and you're like, oh, she's beautiful, is she Siamese? And you're like, no, you only have one Aunt Constance, or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
I think by now people are, you know, they're prepared for those kind of questions.
Look, I'm not racist, but I just wanted to say that to have it on, like have it recorded so I could just use it for any time I feel like being racist.
That's right.
That having been said, I just, you know, animals... Pets, Secret Life of Pets. Have you seen that movie?
I couldn't get into it. I got about 15-20 minutes into it and I was bored with it.
Who are you watching it with?
My kids.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. Like what we talked about last week about how sometimes it just seems like these movies are made really for kids and they put those jokes in them that are supposed to be subtle, but some movies don't make them subtle. I kind of got mark, that feeling. Huh? Yeah. I kind of missed the mark with me.
How about Sing?
I haven't watched that yet. My kids love it, though.
Sing is one of those weird movies where it didn't have to be animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about it on the show. That there was the family of elephants, and the dad sounded exactly like 130,000-year-old Macedon.
Right.
But... as I watch the movie, like, I'm getting into it, right? And I'm liking it, and the music's good, and good story, and it hits me. I go, why are these animals? Why is this town full of nothing but animals? Why is every character an animal? There's no humans, zero humans, but it's all... anthropomorphized animals.
I always find it weird when, like, there's cartoons where, like, the cast is animals and they have pets. It kind of like,
a good point.
You know, like, a dog will be walking another type of dog, and it's like, what?
Like, didn't we do something about that about 150 years ago?
Well, it's funny too, because Superfan James used to say that my apartment is where pets go to die, because for the longest time it's been well documented on Facebook how I cannot keep a fish alive. Even though we have this runoff at my apartment complex, we have this like runoff pond in the middle where like any rain on the driveway flows into this big pond. So it's disgusting. You look at it and it's just got this film of like that rainbow oil film across the top of it. Well, it's loaded with it's loaded with goldfish the size of like those koi fish that you see like in the Japanese ponds. These things are so huge, and somehow with my fresh water and my filter and my cleaner and my special food, they were just dying left and right. So I just gave up. Like, I'm just gonna go get, you know, 50 gallons of this horrible water and some of these ugly ass goldfish and keep those. But I reached a point where I just was enough, because I had spent hundreds of dollars on fish and just gave up, sold off the tank. Well, we had a dog for about 6 months. He was like 5 or 6 years old, and he just flat out died one day. So it was like, And my daughter had a rat that she brought home from school from like the, you know, the science project. That damn thing had a heart attack and died. Apparently, rats die horrible deaths because they have like really bad like seizures and heart attacks and stuff.
Tell me that story.
Well, that was basically it. We every year at middle school, they have one of the science teachers has rats that they raise from babies and, you know, take care of, and then by summertime they got to do something with these rats, so they enter their name. Any kid that wants them puts their name in a raffle. Well, my daughter came home with a box with a rat in it, and I'm not a fan of rats because rats have like little tiny people hands, and it just creeps me out. Well, she kept it in her room, and eventually, the same thing that happens all the time when a child tells you they'll take care of a pet, they stop taking care of the pet. So I had to, and I just wasn't having it because I just couldn't handle. So I gave it to a friend of mine, and within like 2 days after giving this thing to my friend, it had a massive heart attack and died. So
how does he know that's
it
would have
died here? As because this person has raised rats before, and apparently like the convulsions and stuff that it went through when it died is indicative of a heart attack for a rat.
I'm just trying to imagine, did it have its freaky human-like hands over its chest?
it was doing the waddle like Fred Sanford.
He's going, Elizabeth.
There it is, Rat Elizabeth.
Rat Elizabeth.
Coming to see you, honey.
Animals name themselves after their human name.
Yes. It's like when you're watching like a movie about like the Holocaust or World War II or something, and there's like a German Shepherd barking. I'm like, is he barking in German? Or what language is he barking in?
I was going to try to say something funny, but now you brought up the Holocaust. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not saying the Holocaust. I'm just saying anywhere there's like a large gaggle of, like, Gestapo with dogs.
There's never been a movie with German shepherds that didn't have something to do with the Holocaust.
Isn't that weird? They're just like the asshole of dogs, I guess. I actually love them tremendously, but I just racist. For some reason they're just.
And your last name is Schultz too.
I know, right? Like I told my neighbor, we were talking about something a while ago. What the hell was it? And I thought he must have thought it was the funniest thing in the world. He's like, I gotta go tell my wife, and he runs upstairs. But we were joking about where we were. Like our heritage, where we were coming from, and the fact that he's black. So it was funny when to me, and I kind of chuckled at it when he'd said that he was German. And then he told, I can't remember what his last name was, but he told me, like, yeah, that's a pretty German name. And I'm like, yeah, yes. And I told him, I said, dude, I'm so German. My uncles were killing my uncles during World War II. And he was dying. He's like, I got to go tell my wife. And he runs upstairs. I'm like, that wasn't supposed to be funny. It was a fact. But he thought it was funny.
His name is De Gunther Gluckenheimer.
That's right.
His name is Hans Duckenheimer.
That's Duckenheimer.
Duckenheimer. Oh God. But told myself we were not going to be racist today on this show. And here we are.
It's okay to be racist against, you know, Nazis.
It's been about a half an hour since we started. Should we take a little break?
Oh, I thought you meant it's been a half an hour since we got racist. I'm like, that's a record.
Yeah. Hey, everybody's on edge these days.
That's true.
And we're here to entertain people and help them forget about their troubles for an hour. So, Trump. Oh, shit.
Don't worry. I'll bleep that out.
Okay, good. Or run it backwards. All right. Let's take a break. Refresh our beverages. Don't click away and don't fast forward, because we're going to play a little trailer for you from our good friend Andy Wright, A. William Wright, not the William Wright. And he's going to tell you a little bit about his book. And then I have a few thoughts about it when we come back.
Only the dead get off scot-free. When the judge says, "Who done it?" you'll be crying, "Not me! Not me!"
I regret what happened to your family. I do. But leave this to us.
In seeking justice from the godlike rulers of Maybar, Detective Soma Dan instead gained the power to end their corruption.
Her motives feel like revenge. And some may say justice is just revenge carried out by law, but that's just wrong.
Detective Dan faces constant temptation to fall into the same patterns as those she usurped.
If you try to help her, chaos. If you try to stop her, chaos. I have another idea.
From the award-winning science fiction mind of Andy Wright comes The New Out, a novel and audiobook podcast posting new chapters every other Monday at worldsofmebar.com. That's worldsofmebar.com. From these jagged-
you know that song, the Tom Waits song, Till the Money Runs Out?
Yeah.
Where he talks about, I sold a quart of blood and bought a half a pint of scotch.
Yep.
Well, I sold a quart of plasma and bought a new headset. So I'm kind of excited. I'm still waiting for him to get here, though.
How much did you get for your quart of plasma?
$70. And it wasn't quite a quart. It was more like maybe about 2 pints, 2.5 pints, maybe.
How long did that take?
The actual pumping of the plasma took about 45 minutes.
Like, how long were you there?
The initial visit, they said, takes a while, and it took about 3 hours. And when you go back, it doesn't take as long because you don't have to. There's certain, like, they're real careful about this shit. There's certain. I mean, I ended up doing like a physical and then an exam and all this crazy stuff. Well, after you have to watch like a bunch of videos. And they said when you go back, you still have to do the physical and they still have to check your blood, but a lot of it is expedited, so it doesn't take as long. But yeah, it was crazy, man, because when I'm they take you into this big room and there's like 30 or 40 of these like reclining chairs. And it looked like something out of a fucking sci-fi movie. Because there's all these people laying there with tubes in them. I'm like, Soylent Green is people! You know? But it was pretty cool because I was playing Count the Tweaker. Where, like, I'm looking around going, I wonder which one of these guys is in here to, you know, sell their blood so they can go out and buy drugs. And it was pretty interesting. It was a pretty interesting experience.
It's like double dipping because, you know, you give plasma, you feel lightheaded and a little bit high, then you go out and get a dime bag or something of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why they do it. Because when I got out of there, I was just like, whoa, this was a little weird. Because, you know, they. Once they extract the plasma from your blood, they pump the rest of your blood cells and stuff back into you on a wave of like saline. So you're not quite right, and you're a little cold because it's room temperature fluid going back into you. So you're out, you're a little bit weirded out, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. you donate this plasma, then you like go to the liquor store like right next door and buy like a bottle of Thunderbird. Or whatever, and you got to be like lit by like noon. So
do they? It was crazy. Do you get paid by the ounce, or is it a flat fee, or what is it?
I thought you were paid by the ounce, honestly, but no, it's a flat fee. If you and not everybody can give the same amount. Like, the lady told me after she, you know, did the physical and weighed me and stuff, she's like, well, you know, I weigh 210 pounds. And she's like, well, then you're good for the maximum amount, but you can stay as long as, you know, until it stops or until you can't produce enough, you know. Until you pass out. Well, she, the lady that was putting the needle in, she's like, now, mind you, I'm reclined. Imagine being in like the most comfortable, like, recliner you can think of. Like, you're on your deck, and it's soft and it's nice, you know, and you've got no worries because you're there. And she's sticking this needle in me, and she's like, "Now, whatever you do, don't fall asleep." And I'm like, "Lady, I have 3 kids. I'm a single dad. I'm 49 years old. I'm reclined. I don't think I'm going to make it." just being relaxed is enough to put me to sleep. But it was pretty interesting. The time went like really fast, though. She's like, yeah. She looked at the machine and she's like, that took 48 minutes. I'm like, Seriously? I felt like 15.
How often are you allowed to do this?
You can do it a surprisingly a lot of times. You can do it once a week, or you can do it like twice 1 week and then skip a week and then twice the next week. But you can go back like 48 hours after you've been there. And I'm like, who? The next day, I felt really out of sorts. And I'm thinking, who in the hell would go back the next day? And then I'm going, oh, yeah, that's right. Junkies and alcoholics, they'll go back the next day. But no, you can go. So basically, you can go once a week if you wanted to.
Have you looked into donating sperm?
I could go there more than once a week.
So I think you could sell. I think you can sell your sperm.
No, I honestly haven't looked into that.
Look into it, because, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe 800-900 years from now?
Yeah, I could be like Genghis Khan.
We'll be talking about, like, how many millions of people are directly descended from you. You know?
Well, right?
Future people who always have a British accent for some reason.
Yes.
They'll be going, what kind of a conqueror must he have been to have 250 million people? Although this one sounds vaguely Asian, which that fits with the future. 250 million people directly descended from this one man. What kind of a conqueror must he have been?
It's a flood of, you know, bald guys with goatees. It's like explain.
Everybody
so much.
Looks like George Carlin in the future.
Right. Well, the weirdest thing about the whole, for me, I don't know why this struck me as weird, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching the bottle fill up with plasma, because, you know, it extracts it, filters it, pumps it back into you, and does it again over and over again for about 6 or 8 times. So I'm watching this bottle, and I'm thinking, a minute ago, that was me. Now, it's not me. That's me, but, you know, it's no longer in me. It was a weird, like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. That's how weird it was for me. It could have been that I was a little bit lightheaded from the whole experience, but it was just kind of a weird experience. I'll definitely do it again, though. It wasn't. It was pretty cool. Plus, you know, if I can get a little bit of money out of Big Pharma, you know,
right?
For all the gouging they do.
Yeah, I've donated blood many times. It feels good. I mean, you feel special. You feel lightheaded. You get a free cookie, some orange juice.
Who eats cookies and orange juice? That's like when you go to like a friend's house when you were a kid for like a birthday party. And it's like, we got cake and we got Kool-Aid. It's like, that Kool-Aid's going to taste nasty because you're eating that cake.
We got cake. We got cupcakes. We got that weird stuff in a pouch with a candy stick with colored sugar. We got just plain bags of sugar laying around.
And then we're going to send you home.
And the cookie and the cake is the only thing that has anything in it that isn't sugar.
That's right.
It's got flour and eggs, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. What goes in those things. But, like, you know what the biggest ripoff in the world is? Snickerdoodles. I did not even know what a snickerdoodle was until I was already a grown-ass man, like, in Chicago. Like, I was, like, 25, 26 years old. Somebody's like, hey, we have snickerdoodles in the break room. I was like, wonder what that is. I'm expecting some delicious chocolate, caramel, maybe some nougat-y stuff and some nuts. all made into a cookie. So I was like, what's a snickerdoodle? They're like, oh, it's the best cookie you've ever had. I was like, oh, I'll bet it is. You take a Snickers and you make it into a cookie? I get in there. Do you know what a snickerdoodle is?
No.
A snickerdoodle has as much in common with a Snickers candy bar as an iPhone has in common with a glass of milk.
Okay, but now say that again, but say it as Paul Mooney.
I got to get in the Paul Mooney position. A snickerdoodle has as much in common with a Snickers candy bar as an iPhone has in common with a glass of milk. Which is not much. I don't really have a Paul Mooney accent. Just my standard black guy accent, I guess. It could be like 130,000 year old Mastodon. Hey, snickerdoodle got as much in common with a Snickers candy bar as an iPhone has with a glass of milk.
You know how you were talking about the it being the best cookie you've ever tasted. Well, there, you remember that All for the Nookie song?
I did it all for the Nookie.
Yeah.
For the Nookie.
Well,
so you can have a cookie.
Well, there used to be these Kids Bop CDs you could buy. You know, I don't know if they still make them or not. But back in the 90s, they had Kids Bop. And my nephew had one. And he was like six, maybe. And on it, it was All for the Cookie. All right. So he's walking around the house. He did it all for the cookie. All for the cookie. And he stops and he goes, man, that must be some kind of cookie. And I said, boy.
You're like, son. Yep.
Well, that was pretty much, that was as far into that conversation as I got.
Yeah, I was going to say Kid Rock, but it was Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit, yeah.
Aren't they kind of the same?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Fred Durst and Kid Rock.
I'm pretty sure they're the same. You probably never see both of them in the same place, same time. So where were we going with this before break?
Oh, are we back from break?
I think so. I think we backed the bus up over poor Andy Wright.
My favorite part of the lyrics to that song, the whole chorus is talking about everything he ever did was only for the vulgar term for the vagina, right? yet when they get to the part about, so you could stick it up your, instead of saying ass, they go, ah! Like, oh, we can't say ass.
Yes.
We're going to be like, ooh. Like, so stick it up your, ooh, we can't say that.
Oh.
Can't say the A word. I did it all for the nookie, for the vulgar word, for your vagina, for your sexual organs, for a vulgar word. But you could stick it up your, ooh, we can't say ass.
It's also one of the whitest songs ever recorded. It's just that bad, honestly.
Rap rock fusion.
Mm.
Remember when that was the thing?
Unfortunately.
Senator Rock, and I don't mean The Rock, Senator The Rock, I mean Senator Kid Rock, you know, was known for that back in the day. Before he became senator, he was a rap rock fusion guy. I don't know if you knew that. Most people now know him as
Senator. You know,
Senator.
That's right.
Yeah. So the new Aleph, Worlds of Maybar, the, not the, but A, William Wright. I'm digging it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I dig about it is just the whole format that he's chosen to release it in. If I may end a sentence with a preposition. I just, like, you know, it reminds me, it doesn't remind me of the actual events, but it reminds me of people talking about cereals, you know, and how, and you and I have talked about, like, The Watchmen, and how I said how awesome it would be, or have been, to get each one and have to wait for the next one, right?
Right.
So I'm listening to it, and he talks about at the end of each episode, he says the next episode will be released on August 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Except he puts a different date in each episode. He doesn't always say August 29th. He says a different date, which will be the date that it will. You get the idea.
Yeah.
But it, and I go, in my head, I'm going, oh, I can't wait, because now I think I'm starting to get into it. There's only been three chapters. The first couple, I was kind of confused, and he did open it up to, you could ask me questions as long as the answer is not going to start with.
Or as long as his answer is, you have to wait and see.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought, especially in the first two chapters, I thought, there's no question I could possibly ask that would help me understand what's going on that wouldn't start with, you'll have to wait and see.
Exactly.
But what I like is he starts each episode with a recap.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Just like you're watching, previously on ER, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just like you're watching one of those weekly dramas. And so it does two things. One, it reminds me of, you know, what I heard a week ago, but it also describes to me the salient points of what I listened to a week ago. Because, like, the one guy, and I know some of our listeners haven't heard it, so slight spoiler alert, but I've heard there's a spoiler alert in the trailer. But the one guy who is being tortured, and then he ends up in the, like, the white hallway or the white room or whatever with his name over the door. I was like, what? I'm not sure what exactly is going on. And then he explains it at the beginning of the next chapter. He's like, last time, you know, here's what was going on. And he says exactly what was going on. I was like, oh, that's kind of what I thought, but I wasn't sure. Awesome. Caught up.
Yeah.
And I loved, oh, I just have to say, from chapter two, when the dude's getting tortured, the way he describes this guy getting tortured in you know, again, a callback to Dan Carlin. Like in history, throughout history, people have been tortured in horrific ways, right? And then there are some, like, the medieval stuff. Like, they would torture you to the point where you almost might die, but then they would nurse you back to health.
Yeah.
So that they could torture you some more. Mm-hmm. So they were careful not to kill you before, you know, they wanted you to be dead, right?
Right.
But you knew you're not making it out of here, right? You're going to be dead at some point. But first, we're going to torture you a whole bunch. And mm-hmm. just the way he described it, the way it was like the trade-offs the guy was making between should my wrists hurt really bad or should my leg hurt really bad, and you know, and where would your mind go during that? And he did it in like less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I could have listened to 3 hours of that. You know,
well, to me, but he did it in such a concise way. That's the thing about his stuff that I really like the most is just how concise it is. He could have gone on and on and on and on mm-hmm. and been like Stephen King and wrote a whole book on just the torture sequence. But he captured it in, like you said, in like 10 minutes. So that's what I'm enjoying the most about it. I mean, I'm a big fan of serials. I'm a big fan of serialized fiction. I don't really know if there are very many like story podcasts like this that he does that do that. I'm not aware of very many that are just like fiction podcasts, but I think it's a great idea the way he's arranged it, you know, rather than just have it where you tune in and you hear the story and you wait for the next episode. He kind of like draws you in mm-hmm. that way as well.
Yeah. And you know, I was imagining 2 years from now, somebody will discover it mm-hmm. and they'll binge listen mm-hmm. to the whole thing. They're not going to have the same experience, but they may sit there and go, man, I wish I had discovered this.
Yeah.
You know, when it, cause I have discovered things like that. Not fiction, but
right.
like an event, like a 3-day event happened and it's broken up into like 12 podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm able to listen to them one after the other. So I kind of know what that's like, but it just feels special to be a part of it. So I guess what I'm saying is if you're within the sound of my voice right now, you should head over to wherever it is. I always like to give a website because you can do like, it's A. William Wright on Twitter or at A. William Wright over on Spotagram or whatever. It's like, let's see if it's awilliamwright.com. That would be awesome. Nope. A. William W. Tite. Well, that's not right.
That was his porn name.
A. William W. Tite. Oh, well, here's where you go, folks. You go to A. William Wright. That's just, you know, just like it sounds. A. William, WRIGHT.com. And you can, you know, figure it all out. I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm hooked. And I'll just be honest, just so you know. Just so people know we're not just like blowing smoke because mm-hmm. he's a friend. The first two, I was worried because I thought, oh, is this going to be another one of those situations where like it's a friend and I really like, is he good? Like a friend, and it's weird to say he's a friend. I've never met the guy. I've talked to him online.
Social media is weird. Social media is so weird like that now.
Yeah. And I was like, I was starting to get into the, wow, if I don't get into this, do I have to continue to listen? Am I committed? Like, even if I don't like it? And I was confused. It was like, there's like 7 characters, and I'm like trying to, there's not that many, but it's how it felt. And there's like a lot going on, and I don't know. And then this third one, like, really brought mm-hmm. it all together for me. And I was like, the third chapter, I was like, so I guess what I'm telling people is at least get to the third chapter because you know, the first two, all necessary stuff. In fact, if this were a conventional book, I thought about this today. I thought the first 3 episodes might actually be the first chapter because if it were a conventional book, because that's kind of what I got today was where it brought everything together. You know, we've talked about the deal you make with the reader and you need enough in your first chapter to let them know, like, if you commit this many hours to reading this book, I'm giving you enough in the first chapter to give you the amount of information you need to know if you're going to like it, right? To me, the like, if you put the first three episodes together, that gave me the information I needed to go, all right, I'm in. I'm in, man. I'll stick with you for the long haul. And if he stops or has a cop-out ending or something like that, that drama, Life on Mars, which still pisses me off to this day, then he'll have hell to pay, even though I would have to go all the way to California.
Which one was Life on Mars?
Life on Mars went one season, and it was the one where this guy, it's, you know, first episode, he gets caught up in some kind of weird time warp. He's a homicide
Now, are you
detective.
Talking about the British version or the American version?
Probably the American one, because had an accent.
And Harvey yeah, that Keitel was the American was version. No, man, I've seen that. The British version is fucking fantastic. But yeah, one season.
So this guy somehow gets transported back in time to the 1970s. He's a homicide detective. And a lot of what they play off of is, well, first of all, Harvey Keitel's in it.
Yeah.
So there you go. But a lot of what they play off of is they're solving murders, but he doesn't have the technology he's used to having. They're like contaminating the crime scene. He's like, what are you doing contaminating the crime scene? What about DNA? Yeah. And they're like, DNA what? and he's having all these weird like flashback / flash forward moments, and then like he meets somebody who seems to know what's going on, and like this whole like X-Files meets Lost meets NCIS meets the Beastie Boys video for Sabotage, you know. Everybody's got the 70s mustaches and these cars with the big long hoods, and they're all like sliding
and
across
they
got to
put
the
big light on top
the other
of
side
it.
Of the car. Yep. And it's weird that I would say I don't want to ruin it for people, because the likelihood of anybody ever seeing this now is probably next to nothing.
Right.
But they canceled the show with like two episodes to go. And the writers and producers, I guess, decided they had to wrap everything up and put a nice bow on it for everybody. And they just like a fucking record scratch.
Yeah.
Like the guy suddenly wakes up and he's on this ship, this spaceship going to Mars, and something went wrong with the like what the thing that puts him into stasis, you know, for the journey, and he was having this weird dream. And everybody, you know, Harvey Keitel's there, the love interest is there.
It's like
everybody's
the Wizard of Oz ending.
They're like, oh. Yeah, exactly. And the dream, like the 70s cop thing, was like a computer-induced dream to like keep them stable, like to keep them occupied while they're sleeping or whatever. And, oh, it got interrupted, but hey, we're still on our way to Mars.
I'm willing to bet that was like I'm willing to bet that was tacked on by like, you know, the producers. You know, like you said, the show had to come to an end. So the only thing for me, and I enjoyed the British, the original version of it, but I don't think it.
What happened in the British?
I don't
one?
Think
did that...
it didn't get that far. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe what
instead of Harvey Keitel, they had Ricky Gervais.
No, possibly he was in everything back then, but I don't think the show, the British version, made it far enough into it to explain it. And I think what happened was the American writers went, they're on a spaceship, because. You know, they didn't know. They were like, they'd watch like the British episode and then make their own. It was like that. They ran like that close together. But the only thing that the American version had, other than Harvey Keitel, who was pretty much disposable, I thought, in that series. They needed a guy that people knew who could pull off like a 70s dirty cop look. And if you've seen Bad Lieutenant, you know, that's immediately, I'm just glad he wasn't in, you know, he wasn't like walking around, you know, naked like he was in the Bad Lieutenant. But the only thing the American version had for me was the love interest was played by Gretchen Mol, who, she's something else. But yeah, God, I forgot all about that show.
That show will be missed. Hey, Andy, whatever you do, listen to me. Come closer to the speaker. Come over here because I want to say something to you. Do not have a cop-out ending to this novel. Because now I'm invested. You better deliver. No pressure. You better
also
fucking deliver.
Also, our names are now attached to it, so we don't do this to just anybody.
That's right. That's right.
We're going out on a limb here.
We have a reputation. We have a reputation, man. Our dozen fans will be disappointed.
We have a reputation, all right.
We don't. Speaking of reputations, we have no headlines this week, no character call-ins. We have no headlines.
Yes.
Did I say that already? We also... what else do we not have? We didn't do a lot of our normal stuff.
Yeah.
For that, I sincerely, if anyone's offended by anything that I unintentionally didn't say, I would like to say that I would be sorry if you were offended. There were, you know, both sides have some responsibility. You know, you as a listener, you need to take some bad things. You did some bad things. As a listener, I did some bad things, sort of. But, you know, there are bad people in the world. Bad things happen on both sides. So, if you're sorry, I want to accept your apology. And you're welcome.
We told ourselves we weren't going to go there. We did.
I danced around it all night, too. I was like...
But luckily we're out of time, so we can't go, we can't get any worse.
For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Go to don'tpanicradioshow.com, catch up on all the back episodes, and don't you forget, nothing you just heard was true.
Yeah. 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 All right.